Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. We're out early this week. Going to try to jump on the Super Bowl here and this big Adnan Virk story that Andrew Marchand of the New York Post broke. If you're a regular listener to the SI Media Podcast, you know Marchand is a regular guest. And he was the man to get on today. I tried for Tracy Wilson. I thought what happened to her at the end of the Super Bowl was great. But CBS said she's not speaking to anyone today. So couldn't get Tracy, even though we tried. So we have Andrew to get into this Adnan Virk story. Adnan from ESPN was fired for leaking information. It comes out now that it was too awful announcing. And Andrew will give you all the details on that. And then we review and recap the telecast from Super Bowl 53. Hopefully our discussion is a little livelier than the game. So we're going to get to it right now. Adnan Virk and Super Bowl 53 recap with New York Post columnist and reporter Andrew Marchand right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, regular, had to have him on today after he broke this big ESPN story about Adnan Virk, and then I figured we could get into the Super Bowl. Going to post this nice and early and get this up for everyone since things are crazy on this Monday. New York Post sports columnist slash sports reporter Andrew Marchand. Andrew, are you exhausted after breaking the Virk story and then covering the Super Bowl last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as tiring as covering baseball, so I'm fine. But yeah, it was a lot. But again, the Yankees are much more difficult.
For those who don't know, Andrew covered the Yankees for ESPN New York for many, many years, and now he's doing the media beat. I'd like to start with Virk instead of the Super Bowl. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, so he was fired, for those who don't know. Adnan Virk does Baseball Tonight, and I guess he does SportsCenter, too?
He doesn't do sport. He probably has, but he mostly does Baseball Tonight, college football studio,
college
basketball studio, some play-by-play, and you know he fills in a lot on ESPN radio.
Right, so he was fired for leaking information to... now it comes out, Andrew just posted right before we're taping this, another story. I guess he leaked information about Baseball Tonight and ESPN and MLB's relationship to awful announcing. Give us the backstory there before I get into some questions.
Yeah, it's slightly complicated, but the feeling was that Adnan had been leaking information, and on this occasion, what I wrote about, according to my sources, is that he preemptively told awful announcing reporter there, Ben Koo, about a meeting they're having or conference call they're having about baseball. And then he missed the call, you know, some of the call at least, and Adnan Virk, that is. And so then after he followed up with the senior coordinating producer for baseball at ESPN, Phil Orleans, I should say, and he asked him pointed questions that weren't actually in the conference call. And then that information ended up on Awful Announcing's website later that day. So it kind of tipped off ESPN. And so, you know, they did an investigation and they felt like that Adnan wasn't truthful or forthcoming when the information, you know, then they figured out what happened. So it's unclear if he had been truthful, if he would have kept his job, but it probably would have helped.
Now, let me start with this. I would assume most ESPN personalities leak information to people off the record in the media. Why? Do you know why ESPN is making this such a big thing?
Well, I think the premeditated nature of it is what they really, you know, he was kind of like going out of his way, I think, from their point of view. That's number one. Number two, and this is to all my sources out there, if you're listening, use your personal phone. Do not use your company phone. That would be a recommendation. So we're good. We're all good out there.
Right.
We're all good. You can text me, tweet me, email me, do whatever you need to do, but just do it on your personal phone.
It does seem like a very strange thing for someone to get fired over. I could see a suspension, miss some assignments, take them off this, take them off that. But firing seems, it doesn't seem like the punishment fits the crime. Am I wrong?
Well, that's what the Virk side feels, that, you know, there should have been a warning first, and then from there, you know, you could have, you know, had some sort of, you know, you make good of things. Usually in contracts at ESPN, you have some sort of language that where you have the right to figure out if you do something wrong, that's a certain term for it, but there's a clause in there where you're allowed to correct that wrongdoing. That's definitely was their view of how things should have gone down. ESPN's view is that they give you all kinds of compliance training, and especially about the classified information, and you're not supposed to leak it. So there's your warning. You know, that's why Adnan Virk is, you know, looking at Connecticut lawyers to see if, you know, what kind of suit he'd have.
Right. Well, I mean, an employee can fire an employee anytime they want, can't they? I mean, so he had a 4-year contract. He's not getting paid for the rest of the contract?
As of right now, he's not getting paid for the rest of the contract.
Right. So they'll settle and make it go away. This will never get to court, don't you think?
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, they might settle. I'm not positive. I mean, you know, at the moment, I would say we're a long ways from there. But you know, if they feel like they have grounds to fire them, I'm sure they did it with lawyers involved, and they thought about the implications. So he could, you know, they could settle, make it go away. You know, because he didn't get a severance, at least at the moment. So will it make it to, you know, I guess if I were to guess, maybe you're right, but we'll have to see.
What's the feeling from ESPN on air talent about this? Have you talked to anyone? Has anyone leaked to you about, are the people in Bristol who are on air people? Are they like, what the hell is going on here? Have you heard that Virk maybe has done some other shady things? Is there any feeling yet from those in Bristol?
Yeah, Virk is very popular. I mean, if you see him on the air, affable guy. So the from what I've heard, you know, people like anything, anybody gets fired, but especially a likable person. Yeah, there's disappointment on that. You know, and, you know, I've gotten some texts I'm not going to name the name, but somebody in particular, if they're going to let go of people for leaking, then why isn't such and such, I'm not going to say the person's name.
Right.
Why isn't that person been let go? So yeah, there is a feeling of sadness because, you know, they like him. You know, I've talked to everybody. I've talked to a few people, and he's popular. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't think this is career ending. I think it was dumb. I think he's going to land on his feet, and it's all going to be fine. It was just kind of shocking because he just signed a new contract, and it was a little out of nowhere for this to happen.
Now, do you think there's like a little Jordan rules going on here? Because every company, whether it's ESPN, SI, The Post, certain people are able to get away with things that other people can't. So if this was, I don't know, throw out any, you know, big name over there, let's say this was a Fowler, they're not firing Chris Fowler.
So, no, probably not. I agree with you. That point hasn't been made to me. Adnan Virk, I do think, kind of was a rising star, guy on the way up, but he isn't Stephen A.
Right.
He isn't Chris Fowler. He's not Jeff Van Gundy. You know, there's a lot of guys out there who they could have, you know, if they had this situation, that I don't think they'd be let go. So is he? But here's the thing. I do think he didn't. I don't know if he should have been. It's weird because it's such a like silly topic, but I do think how it went down, he just didn't act smart. You know, that, like, yeah, nice guy, and a talent on the air, but just in the situation, I don't know, the idea to leak this to awful announcing for what gain, I don't really see. If it was, you know, being naive about it, it just was a little bit, you know, and then the punishment does seem extreme.
Well, there is, I mean, I don't know this to be the case. This is pure speculation. I don't know Adnan Virk. I don't think I've ever had a conversation. I've never met him. I don't think I've ever spoken to him. But just as a media person and media observer, I would imagine there are people who leak things to Awful Announcing, Richard Deitch, Andrew Marchand, so those people don't write negatively about them.
Yeah, well, if they're listening right now, I don't do that.
Right.
I'm not listening to other people. Right. I tell people, no, I don't. You can tell that to ask anybody. I don't. You get no favors.
You're always going to be a little softer if someone's a source for you.
You know, well, no, I will. I'll give you that. If you have a relationship with somebody, you may not be as harsh, but I will not. I'm telling you, I'm not gonna. I'll tell you. I'll just call you up and be like, "Hey, listen, this is what I'm writing, and that's how it works."
Right. So, I'm just saying. Again, I don't know this to be the case. I don't know Adnan Virk, but you had said, you know, you think it's a silly thing for him to. You know, for him to be sloppy about this and give Awful Announcing this information about Baseball Tonight that no one really cares about, you know, the mindset there could be, oh, let me give them this information, and then when they do their, you know, 10 rising stars at ESPN, I get on the list. It's not that.
I guess so, but I guess I would do that year 3 of my contract, not year 1. All right, I'd start leaking like crazy year 3. I mean, I don't know if he gets on a Awful Announcing top 10 list right now. You got 4 years left. You got to make that Awful Announcing, whatever. If that's even important, no offense to Awful Announcing, but if let's say it is important, then make that in 2022, 2023. That's when I aim for that.
Now you hinted on this, or you touched on this in your article. So when ESPN put the pieces together and figured out he was leaking stuff to Awful Announcing, they confronted him, and then he denied it. And then they went to him with the proof.
Yeah, he denied it on a few occasions where he had a chance to just say, "Yeah, I did it." And then he was also using his company phone to do it.
Right.
So that's not a good move. Again, people out there, it's okay. We're good. They're not gonna. I don't think they're coming after everybody. Use your personal phone. Don't use your work phone. I mean, that's kind of leaking 101.
Andrew's nervous. He's gonna lose his sources now.
I'm not nervous. I just want them to be aware. I can get that. There's no better way to get a mass to have them hear this than to say it here. So this is the bat phone going out on the Trainer podcast that we're good.
So all you ESPN sources for Andrew, don't use your work phone. Now, do you think this is a one-off, or do you think ESPN, could this be a movement here where they're trying to clamp down on talent being sources for people like you, me, and Awful Announcing and the others?
Not really. I really think this is, if you read my story, you know, I went back and forth with a lot of sources before I wrote this latest story. It's a little convoluted. I don't think this is some sort of crackdown on information. I think, will it scare some people? Yeah, it's possible. But I don't think it's some major crackdown. They decided to, you know, we're going to find all the leakers in this building, because as has been pointed out by a number of people, you know, they won't have anybody to do the shows.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people talking. It's media business. A lot of gossiping going on out there. But you know, that said, I think this was a unique circumstance, and how it went down and also how the information was kind of, I think it's important to note that about the meeting, and then the fact that the things that ended up in that story were not even discussed during the conference call.
Right.
Those things weren't even discussed in the conference call. Then you have a conversation with your boss right after, and you're asking pointed questions, and then those questions appear, you know, on the website. It wasn't well thought out. Now, in Adnan's defense, though, he didn't, I don't know, it's not a federal crime he committed, but it's very odd. I could see how it gets very odd, and you're like, and then if he's not truthful, it just sort of starts going spiraling down, and you make a decision. I'm not saying it's the right decision, the wrong decision. Could you have suspended him a couple of weeks? And you know, could that have worked? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, they went very extreme.
It almost sounds like he got in trouble almost as much for his sloppiness as leaking the information. Like, you're going to be so bold as to, you know, use your work phone and all that and do it right after this conference call that you weren't on.
Yeah, I would say Adnan Virk, good broadcaster, bad leaker.
And the other thing I would say, too, before we'll move on.
And also, let me say one other thing, because I'm being a little bit, I'm kind of having a little fun there. I think, and I wouldn't if I didn't think this, I think Adnan Verk's going to be fine. You know, maybe, I don't know how the lawsuit's going to work out, but he's going to, this isn't such a terrible offense.
Right.
That he's not going to be able to find work.
Yeah,
he's talented. I think he's going to do fine. That's why I'm having a little fun with it. If I thought that he wasn't, you know, this was going to be like the end of his career,
right,
I would do that.
Yeah, they could go to the MLB Network and everything could work out. The other thing, too,
there are a lot of places he could go. A lot of places he could go.
The other thing I would say is, again, this is just me as an observer in all this. Obviously, I don't know this. I wonder. I like awful announcing a lot. I think they're legit. I'm not knocking them in any way, shape, or form. I hope it doesn't get interpreted that way. But I also wonder if, you know, if he gets caught leaking that to you or Deitch or John Orand, I wonder if ESPN doesn't overreact the way they seem to have. I wonder if going to, you know, a quote-unquote blog, and I don't mean that in a derogatory term, I wonder if that's part of why ESPN did what they did here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it had to do more with the premeditated, like that, the fact that, like he was, from their view, that he was kind of going out of his way,
right,
to do this. And maybe you're right that it was all announcing. I don't know about that. But I think if it was premeditated for any of the, you know, places that you mentioned or people that you mentioned, that it would probably be the same result. I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
All right. I need to tell the SI Media Podcast listeners that this episode is sponsored by Audible. Could listening make you a better parent, a better leader, even a better person? Could listening to motivating fitness programs get you fit? Could listening inspire you to start something new? There's never been a better time to start listening on Audible. With Audible, you get access to an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet, and now, with Audible Originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made for members. I'm going to give you two recommendations for Audible, both by a man who comes on the SI Media Podcast every now and then, James Andrew Miller. And Jim has two books on there you must check out. Those guys have all the fun about ESPN, sort of an oral history of ESPN, and Live from New York, which is the oral history of Saturday Night Live. Both books are tremendous, and most reads can't recommend them enough on Audible. Audible members can choose three titles every month, one audiobook and two Audible originals you can hear anywhere else. Audible members also get access to exclusive audio fitness programs to start the new year off on the right foot. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere. At home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go. You'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges, rollover credits, and an audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. And SI Media Podcast listeners get started with a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/media or text media to 500-500. Again, Audible.com/media or text media to 500-500, audible.com/media, M-E-D-I-A, or text media to 500-500, audible.com/media. Now let's get back to Andrew Marchand. Before we get to the Super Bowl broadcast, Romo Nantz, Tracy Wolfson, the rating came out Monday morning, lowest rated Super Bowl since 2009. How surprised were you by that?
Not terribly. I mean, if you watch the game, it was awful. And so I think that the rating probably is dependent on that casual fan who either sticks with it or doesn't. And he or she wasn't sticking with that one. That was a terrible, terrible football game. And that's one of those games that I think the game was terrible, and that's why. I don't think there's any other reason.
Do you chalk it up strictly to the low-scoring, boring game?
I mean, ratings were up all year.
Right.
So why would the Super Bowl be different, except that low-scoring game, they didn't have New Orleans. New Orleans didn't watch. That hurt them.
Right.
L.A. is, again, I don't study these things. And so I'm sure the L.A. rating, I didn't look at this, so I don't know this. So if it's wrong, I apologize. But I would think the L.A. rating is probably not as high as maybe other cities do when their teams are in it. That might have hurt. And there might be some Patriot fatigue, but I think there's less of that. Even though I speak for everyone who basically, even Patriots fans inside must hate the Patriots. We think we all hate the Patriots. But you still want to watch. You were hoping they would lose, and then they don't. So the dynasty thing, I think that's a actually positive Brady's a positive. Big stars are positive. Colin Cowherd, you know, he talks about it all the time. He's dead on. You know, people talk about the NCAA tournament. You know, they want to see Cinderella. They want to see Cinderella. And then you look at the ratings. You want Duke, North Carolina, et cetera, in that championship game. Or at least the ratings say that. So so I think New England didn't hurt and more of a help. But I do think there's some factors, especially, but the biggest one being it was a very, very dull game. And commercials were terrible, too, except for the NFL one.
The thing that's interesting, dull game, but not decided until late in the fourth quarter. So it's weird to me that people would check out when the game is still in the balance until there were, you know, until the Patriots scored that touchdown there after the great Gronk catch late in the, well, maybe middle of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It wasn't decided, and you could hope for some excitement. But I think overall there just wasn't a lot of buzz in that game because of the – and again, like the commercials, Maroon 5 also, you know.
Didn't help. Yeah,
a lot of people didn't want that. People didn't seem to like that one. So you add all that up, and you get a little bit lower rating than they could have gotten.
I disagree with you, though, on the Patriots fatigue. I think that was a little bit of a factor just – from the response I've gotten on Twitter all day from people saying that, you know, they've had enough of the Patriots and they didn't watch because of that.
I think those are the diehards. But I think right. I think the people you're getting on Twitter are the diehards who I guarantee you watch.
But you cut me off before I could finish my sentence.
That's all right. Your point was stupid.
The other thing I was going to say is there was zero buzz and excitement for this Super Bowl. No storylines for 2 weeks. I mean, how many times can you hear about Sean McVay's 33 and Tom Brady thinks, you know, they're underdog. I mean, there was nothing going into the Super Bowl. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe that was a factor. There weren't a lot of storylines besides Tony Romo, and that didn't carry the day.
Now, in my column on SI.com, Train of Thoughts, on Monday, I gave the broadcast a B+. That's game only. I can't watch 5 hours of pregame. I watched pieces here and there. Was glad to see Ian Eagle on there. I gave the game telecast a B+. What would you have given it?
Game, I'll give it a solid, B+ is about right. B+. I mean, they didn't have a lot of work to work with. So,
right.
You know, I thought Romo, I think you said this, I tweeted about this. I thought he was, I'll give it a B, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to lower it to a B.
Nah,
it was
a B+.
Good. They're very loose. Very loose. Romo, very relaxed. Good lines. The Reagan, that's got to go right. I mean, that's a good line. That's a subtle, really good line that he threw in there. You know, the thing with the missed kick when he's teasing Nance, that's pretty good. I'd like Nance to kind of play off that a little bit more, give me a little more there. But the thing that I thought they didn't do is that they didn't really break down far enough for me why Belichick was stopping McVay's offense.
I disagree.
You know, Romo wrote
I thought he did that throughout the game about how the defensive line was, I mean, the Patriots defense was going straight, not going side to side, and that's how they were able to stop the run. I thought he did it in the first quarter and he did it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I would have liked to understand, like, taking, I don't know. And it was not enough about Gurley. I just felt like I didn't get enough of just digging a little bit deeper, which Romo can do, about what was going on defensively and what the scheme was that, and I'm not killing them, you're right, they gave you a little bit, but just not enough. Like, I wanted, and again, I watched intently, but I was a little bit slightly distracted with the Verk, you know, stuff that I was working on.
Right.
But I was watching intently, but I just felt like a little bit more in terms of just getting a little bit deeper, which I think they could do in terms of the why of it.
Yeah. I would have liked more on Goff. They can't say
Goff stinking.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but even Goff's thinking, like, if you read the Romo column that he did with me, that, you know, that's told to, I think if you read between the lines of what he said about Goff, you could tell that Romo didn't think Goff is a great player. You know, he's like an okay player. He said he's second year, third year, he's made improvements. Sean's helped him. He's a good player. That's from a quarterback, talking about another quarterback, they're grading him on a curve. So if that sounds like a B, that means he really thinks he's like a C-.
To me, that was the number one storyline that came out of that game, and they didn't really address it, and I guess they're in a tough spot there. But if I was a Rams fan...
Also, how about Gurley, though? A little more emphasis on Gurley. But, like, what is going on with Todd Gurley last two games?
For me, Jared Goff basically being petrified for four straight hours. Now, I'm not big on the you know, this guy's nervous, this guy's you know, emotions. Jared Goff was petrified to play in that game for four straight hours last night. And I would have liked a little more on Goff, because, and I know everyone has to, you know, get down on their hands and knees and bow down to Belichick and do the genius thing, which is deserved, and I'm not saying it's not. But Brandon Cooks was wide open in the end zone for a touchdown, and Goff threw a terrible pass. There's nothing to do with Belichick. And then when he threw the pick, there was a guy wide open on a crossing route, and he threw the pick. I mean, yeah, give Belichick credit for the schemes.
They did a great job. Romo was amazing. There's another one. It wasn't on a pick, but where he went deep down the left sideline, and he had somebody underneath, and it was it was excellent how Romo just explained his third, fourth quarter. He nailed that.
Yeah. I know everyone has to show off how smart they are with their football knowledge and talk about Belichick's schemes. Goff was terrible, schemes or no schemes, and he was nervous from the snap to the end, and that's a bad sign. And I would have liked.
I also think the thing is he might not be that good. You know what I mean? He's like a good player.
Well, he's great in the regular season.
I know. He's a good player, but not a great player that you needed to beat Brady. And here's the other thing is we're getting into football. I don't know. I'm getting a little off topic here. But Brady, like I the thing about these individual, like saying this guy's the GOAT. So if you elevate Brady to be the GOAT, so do you disregard the fact that he actually threw an interception that would have ended their season, but a guy was lined up offside? And then they scored 13 points. They won because of the defense. And so, like, I just find these conversations so, like, I don't know, rudimentary. It's like, the fact is, I'm not saying he's not the best ever. He probably is. But this didn't really add to it on an individual level. He kind of got carried. He threw three interceptions in the AFC Championship.
That's why you cover media, not hardcore sports. Now, let me ask you, did you see anything?
Good moment for you.
Let me give CBS little love here. I think they may not like me right now. Did you see anything in the pregame show that you like that you'd want to maybe give them praise for?
Nate Burleson, I wrote about, was excellent. I mean, he's a guy who could really do a crossover thing like Strahan in terms of doing a non-sports show like a Today show. You know, CBS Good Morning, those type of programs. If he wants, and I spoke to his agent yesterday, and I think there is interest there from Burleson. So I thought he was excellent. Just his ability to host, not only is he good, he's analyzed. I just think if you watch Nate Burleson hosting something, like a segment, he doesn't really look like a football player that much. And if you didn't know he was a football player, you'd think, oh, this guy is just a TV host. And that's a huge compliment for an ex-player. And then Ian Eagles, excellent. They used him a lot. Surprised how much he was on.
Yep.
There's not many guys who can do the play-by-play and host and do it both really well. You know, Costas is probably the best ever. Tirico now. Nance has that ability. You know, Ian Eagles in that group. With the ability to do both play-by-play at an exceptional level and then, you know, transition and you know, host, you know, partially host the Super Bowl, you know, which you don't really think he does. I'm not, you know, he has like a million jobs, it seems like, but that right. guy, you know, I don't think he really, I can't remember when he's hosted really before. You know, he's hosted talk shows on WFAN, but he doesn't really host, and just to go in there and smooth, you know, that was good. And then, I think anything else. The opening, I didn't love the opening. I don't know. I didn't really get it exactly. It was a little too complicated. I think they're trying to top that AFC Championship game from last year. It was okay, but right. it wasn't a home run to me.
I hate Super Bowl Sunday. I just have to say it. I hate it from start to finish. For me, the season
because
ends 2 weeks.
Because you love football, you watch all year, and then it's just ruined by all this garbage.
Yeah, it's a spectacle. It's not a game. It's a spectacle. And
yep.
You know, I don't need it. You know, the halftime is a half an hour, and
it's not for the hardcore. You're a hardcore.
I hate.
You're there every Sunday, right. And the reward you get, this is the biggest game of the year, and you got Maroon 5 in the middle of it.
You got
these stupid commercials about robots.
The game is played in a neutral zone, which I think is the worst thing in any sport, whether it's the NCAA tournament, whether it's college football, whether it's the Super Bowl neutral field is terrible. You know, no weather.
But then we went at Radio Row. I went down to Radio Row last week. You know, I was in Atlanta.
Oh, right. I tried to talk you out of that. First, all right. Well, before we get to that, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else from the Super Bowl, from the game. I will say this. It is amazing what Row. I've said this before. This is not new, but I thought about it again last night because Nance thought he was basically at Caroline's in Broadway doing stand-up at one point. It's amazing what how Romo has changed Nance so much. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, Romo's helped Nance a lot. You know, Phil Simms, I think, does a good job in studio. I think he had, you know, his time in the booth had, you know, was up. And Romo has definitely helped Nance because, well, the thing is, Romo is just so relaxed up there. You know, a lot of guys would start thinking about being in the Super Bowl. He did not sound like a guy who's thinking that 100 million people are watching and I might mess up. He was just a guy who was just calling a game. And, you know, I think also all the attention kind of changed the broadcast a little bit. I don't think he wanted to try to do too much either, which I think was a good move. I think trying to do the prediction thing again, it's just a little, it would come across a little gimmicky, especially if he ended up being wrong. Now, if he was right again on everything, and we did have a guy, Greg Joyce, fine young reporter at the Post. He tracked all his predictions, and he was 6-for-7 on his predictions, so that's pretty good. But he didn't overdo it with the play calls and all that.
Not at all. Not at all. All right, this episode of the SI Media Podcast is also sponsored by Roman. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. I'm guilty of it myself. I have had a bone sticking out of my left knee for a few months and have done nothing about it, just like Roman says. And the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/media, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle. But with Roman, it's really easy, so take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/media. That's GetRoman.com/media for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/media. Give me something from Radio Row that was interesting or weird.
It's not that interesting. I didn't think it was as bad as you made it out to be. Now, I had a lot of meetings when I was down there, so I didn't spend an inordinate amount of time just on Radio Row, but yeah, it's like a zoo. It's interesting to see, you know, the dynamic that you probably would be interested in. Mike and Chris, they were like about probably their sets were about 50 yards from each other, and I even checked back with anybody again. Like I said, I wasn't there that much, but they didn't go on each other's shows. I think there's a little, you know, that the when Mike came back, Chris had some criticism. They hadn't spoken since. So that Mike and the Mad Dog, you know, I kind of told you this before, that the reunion I don't think is happening.
Right.
But I think there's further evidence that that's not going to happen, so, just from what happened at Radio Row.
We know the FAN people listen to your words very carefully on this podcast. Are you reporting there's friction between Mike and Chris?
Yeah, no, I'm not reporting any extra friction. It was reported there was friction between Mike, you know, between me. We were going to throw it. No, not reporting that. I'm just saying that this was earlier in the week. I was just told from someone, hey, they're right here. They haven't spoken. You know, maybe they will. You know, the two of them also, as someone pointed out to me, sometimes they can have friction and all of a sudden, you know, they could be best friends and, you know, do a spot together. But they didn't do a spot. And a lot of times they've done a spot in the past. So, you know, Mike was busy doing interviews. They did have the Porzingis trade.
I want to get to that. I want to get that. Hold on. But before that, I want to stay on the Mike Christing front sec. Well, but let me. Did you have any? Did you see Mike? Was there any confrontation? Because what did he call
I
you?
Did, yeah,
he called you a weasel, right, on the radio. A weasel was the word.
Yes, and then I went down. Can you tell the whole story? And then I went down there.
Right. Everyone knows that.
Like he offered on the air. He offered it on the air for me to go down there. I went down there, and then he never mentioned my name again. But that's
okay. So,
whatever.
So there was a confrontation.
It is what it is. I could have. You know, tried to start a thing. Like I said, I wasn't there. There's one day where I could have gone over and tried to, you know, initiate a conversation. He was getting ready for a show. I chose not to. I thought about it, but it really wasn't on purpose. You know what I mean? I have his number. I've texted him a few times, and the night that happened, I called him a few times. You know, he chooses not to. So I don't know what that would have proved. My job is not to try to cause a scene.
So there was no Radio Row confrontation with you and Mike?
No Radio Row confrontation.
Now, I had heard from people on Twitter that when the Kristaps Porzingis trade went down, Mike was talking to Mike Holmgren and Warwick Dunn. Is that accurate?
You know, that I believe is accurate, but I have to tell you, I was in meetings when that happened, so I was not listening. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in meetings with people, you know, developing more sources at ESPN. There's a joke. Other places too. Remember, use your personal cell phone, everybody. Unless you're like really up there, then use whatever you want. You know, one of the top people.
Yeah.
But so I did not hear it, but from what I understand, yeah, that's an interesting decision. I don't think that's what I would have gone with.
Yeah, that's a good one. Way to play it safe. We don't want to cause controversy on this one. All right, anything else?
This is the biggest problem I have is going on your show. That's where all the issues happen.
Listen, I could push it a lot more, and I'm going to wrap it up here. Anything else, Super Bowl, Radio Row, Atlanta, that you'd like to get off your chest?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, a lot of the stuff's obvious. The media day. It's just that first media day. It's just a total joke. You know, I know that regular people listening, they say, I don't care about reporters, but it's just an insult to reporters
to have
music playing. It's an insult.
I need to cut you off and interrupt you. I'm being a bad host, but I have to do this because we have a tweet that just came in here from James Andrew Miller that I'd like to read you. Quote, curious, is there an internal investigation going on right now inside ESPN to see who leaked the Adnan Virk firing, and that would be to you. So you're right in the middle of trouble again.
Yeah.
Who leaked Adnan Virk's firing to Andrew Marchand? That's what ESPN should be investigating, according to James Andrew Miller. Your response?
I mean, I guess they could look into that, and they could look into any story that's been out there.
Do you know if the person who leaked this to you was using their work phone or their personal phone?
I did not inquire. Well, I talked to a lot of people, but I did not inquire which phone they were using.
All right.
The original person.
Yeah, I got you. All right, you want to go back to Atlanta or you want to just say goodbye? You were saying something about Goodella, and I don't know if anyone cares.
it's the obvious stuff. So nobody cares. Let them go.
Were you at the press conference with Goodell?
Yes, I asked a question.
That's right. I saw you on TV. That's right.
I should have asked. I had a better question. You want to know my?
Yes.
I shouldn't even say this.
Go ahead.
I wrote a thing about Schefter. You know that the story about the referees.
Yes.
So I could have asked Goodell, how much of an impact did you think the fact that the referees were from Los Angeles had on their last call?
I think I'd rather you ask Schefter what happened to his Condoleezza Rice store scoop.
Yeah, they claim that's still a scoop, ESPN. I argue with some of their people. Like, that was Schefter's very good. Let me just make it straight. Schefter's very good at what he does. He's had two, to me, air balls. The Condoleezza Rice story, I just don't get it. How anybody could defend that story. It's like she was going to interview for the head coach, but she wasn't going to interview for the head coach. And then the Browns and Condoleezza Rice both say it's not true. Now, I get it. Sometimes you write a story and the people involved, the principals, go on the record and say it's not true. You know, if you're a reporter, you have that happen, and it's a sign of a good reporter. But, like, when you have a story that's so out of left field, I think you got to anticipate what the response is going to be. And that one was like, I just don't get it. I just right. think you have to drill down when you get to that story.
All right, I agree with you there. I think I don't know. Adam Schefter, I have many thoughts on, but I don't want to get into it right now. It's an interesting dude. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into it another day. We've let's wrap this one up and save this for next time. All right. What should we? Last thing, give me a couple. What's the next step in this Adnan Verk situation? What are we waiting for next now?
Well, I mean, I guess it goes to court. I got another story in mind, but let me work on it. I don't want to just say it on your
All
podcast.
Right. Damn it. I was trying. All right. Good job.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Good job with Verk. Good stuff there. Appreciate it. And thanks for coming on and get some rest now after the big week.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Take it easy.
Talk to you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, my thanks to Andrew Marchand. Did a good job there with the NN Verk story and wrapping up. Really a nondescript CBS telecast. There's not a ton to say. I mean, the game was a snooze fest, and I think it really hurt Nance and Romo. They tried their best to be lively and energetic and funny. There just wasn't a ton to chew on. So that's what you get with the Super Bowl. All right, that wraps up this edition of the SI Media Podcast. For more, check out the archives. Last week, Steve Carell, if you're an Office fan and haven't listened to it, give that one a download and make sure you rate and review. I appreciate it. And that's it. We'll see you next week right here on the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast.